Earlier this month, an extraordinary prisoner swap with Russia brought three Americans home. Among them was Russian-American journalist Alsu Kermasheva, who was sentenced to 6.5 years on charges of spreading false information about the Russian army. That was Alsu holding her daughters and husband tight, a tearful, joyous reunion. Today, she joins me here with her husband, Pavel Butorin. Alsu and Pavel, welcome to the NewsHour. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Your homecoming, Alsu, that moment where you were embracing your loved ones after nearly a year being separated from them, what was that like?
I've lived the happiest moments of my life. It was exactly as I was dreaming of for months and months when I was in prison. I actually had the same dream, how I'll be greeting them and hugging them several times. So it was exactly the dream was coming true.
How has this past month for you readjusting to freedom and reclaiming your life as you knew it?
It's been extraordinary. My doors are finally open after more than 9 months of behind closed doors in a cell without a window. I finally see colors, I see trees, I see plants, I see people, I talk to them, I hug them. It's been amazing. It's been exhausting as I reveal so much the scale of the campaign which was going on my behalf, but positively exhausting. I'm happy of that.
Yeah, exhausting in the best way.
Yes.
Pavel, your family is whole again, your daughters, Bibi and Miriam. How are they doing? And how are you doing?
Well, I'm finally a little bit more relaxed. After more than a year without Alsu, of which for more than 9 months she was held in a Russian prison cell, we are overjoyed to have Alsu back. This is going to be a process. She is adjusting to living in the free world again. We are helping her reprogram from a culture of fear and distrust to the free world where she can publish and say whatever she wants. She has the support of her family, of her friends, and of her colleagues.
When you were detained, Alsu, did you have any sense of the kind of advocacy work your husband was doing to secure your release?
I only believed and hoped that something like that might be happening, but I clearly didn't have a sense of the scale of the advocacy campaign. And there is a long list. I want to say thanks and thankful forever to my colleagues at RFE. They were opening my doors here in DC, and this is how we worked together without me knowing what was happening, and actually all the efforts brought to a happy end. And of course, the tremendous support by the US government and the President Biden administration, but also members of Congress from Republicans and Democrats. I just learned it recently after my release that the effort was bipartisan, and there was a union, everybody united to bring me home as an American mother and American journalist, because that was clearly why I was detained and why I was arrested for being an American journalist.
What did you experience while you were detained?
Days, endless days, meaningless days of constant humiliation and intimidation in small things. I haven't witnessed physical violence in the cell I was kept in, but this moral pressure and continuous humiliation was on the way. And people didn't realize even that it's not the life to live in. It's overwhelmed fear of each other, of your own thoughts, of what you hear on TV. The society has been put on the survival mode. That's what I sensed.
You have three colleagues who are still being detained. What's your message to them?
Well, my today's celebrations are bittersweet because of that. I can't stop thinking about them because I know what they and their families are going through right now. I can sense it. And I want to tell them, you are in our thoughts and prayers, and we will do everything to release you and to to bring that moment of you reuniting with your families?
One of them is Vlad Yosipenko. He was detained in Russia-occupied Crimea. And I've met his wife and his daughter, and no family should go through this. Journalists do not deserve to be detained or imprisoned. We know that he has done nothing wrong. We won't stop our fight for his freedom.
There are those who say, while it's wonderful you're home, that the U.S. can't keep doing these deals where the U.S. exchanges terrorists and criminals for reporters and dissidents, that it only encourages the likes of a Vladimir Putin and leads to more unjust detainments in despotic nations. What do you say to that?
Well, I'm perhaps the wrong person to ask, because all I wanted was to get also back to her family. I think in this trade, the U.S. government and its allies showed that the free world places a higher value on human life, even if it means exchanging real criminals and spies for innocent Americans. I know that it's a complicated moral dilemma, but I think we in the free world need to have that moral courage to take these to make these efforts.
And after the trade, I realized that the choice, the decision which was made by the Western governments and the United States government was a difficult one, and I really appreciate that.
You flew home with Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gerskovich and former U.S. Marine Paul Whelan. Did you share stories? Did you talk? What was that like?
We did talk a lot. We shared stories. And actually, Pavel said he really enjoyed listening to us.
They picked up some prison jargon there, so which was kind of interesting. But I had no idea about any of those words.
Though we were all wrongfully detained and unjustly held in prison in Russia, our stories were very different. Women prisons are very different in Russia, and we were all kept in different conditions. It was interesting to share those stories.
What was important for us is to be able to somehow communicate with Elsa. Our communication was quite limited, but every opportunity we had, we try to communicate it to her that you know, the world stood by her side, by our family, and we knew that she was innocent.
And that kept me going always, even when those the darkest feelings and emotions took over sometimes. I knew the whole world was fighting for me, my colleagues and human rights organizations and journalists, everybody was fighting for me, and that kept me going.
And the way we tried to keep her connected to the outside world was, you know, I think at some point we even snuck in the lyrics of Taylor Swift songs to Elsa, so that she, you know, kept up with culture.
Yeah, but the release of the new album was like, I was in prison already, so I haven't heard the songs, but I was kind of fantasizing how they might sound. And I heard them actually when I came home.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Pavel, now that you mentioned it, when you were on this program some weeks ago and spoke to my colleague Nick Schifrin and said that you and your daughter were supposed to be attending a Taylor Swift concert the night that Alsu came home. Were you able to reschedule that concert?
Not yet. We're working on it. But, you know, again, what were the odds? You know, this is something that we had planned for a year. I bought those tickets in July 2023, a year ahead of time.
Before I was arrested.
Yeah, before she was arrested. So we were hoping, I had four tickets, actually, four VIP tickets. And, you know, Taylor Swift they're not just fans of Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift is their world. It's a world that gave them solace and comfort during those darkest times. And, you know, the girls made, I think, 70 friendship bracelets for their show. Wow. They played, you know, Taylor's songs on their guitars every day. They watched those live streams of surprise songs from the Eras Tour. Unfortunately, those dreams were shattered, and, well, you know, it was a trade, but you know, it was worth it, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're not losing hope. We're hoping to see Taylor this year.
Well, we are so glad that this story has a happy ending. Alsu Kermarsheva, Pavel Bitorin, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.